Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa salatu wa salam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya rabbil alameen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridhaka wal jannah wa na'udhu bika min ghadabika wa sakhatika wa nar ya rabbil alameen. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to make this about something which is considered Ummahat al-Amrad, like the mother of all sicknesses of the heart, which was kibr, arrogance, exactly. All right, so we talked about arrogance. And so today, Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, rahimahullah, he brings up what's considered like the sister of kibr, which is in Arabic called ujab, or vanity or narcissism. Vanity, extreme vanity, or narcissism. And in Arabic, it's called ujab, right? And the concept of ujab, like if you fall in love with someone, you would say huwa mu'ajab biha, right? Like you use that word to show like you're impressed with something. The concept of ujab means to be happy with something, impressed with something. So if you fell in love with someone, then that's, you're like so impressed. Now the problem with falling in love with something or someone, it's not a problem all the time, but sometimes, is you become blind to the faults of that thing. You feel me? Like, حُبُّكَ شَيْ يُعْمِي وَيُسِمْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you fall in love with anything, it'll blind you and make you deaf. Right? It'll blind you and make you deaf. And so the problem with being mu'ajab bi something, overly impressed with something, is it can throw balance off. Right? It can throw balance off. And so the reason why ujab is so dangerous is because when we talk about ujab as a spiritual disease, it has to do with you being impressed with your own self. You being impressed with your own self. And not just impressed with your own self, but you're so impressed with your own self that it makes you forget where the blessing actually came from. Right? So the definition of ujub that I want you to write down or memorize or know is ujub is when you take a blessing of Allah and you like make this blessing huge. Istighwamuha, like it's huge, right? And you're impressed with it, but you forget to equate this blessing back to the one who gave the blessing. That's the definition of ujub. That's the definition of ujub. And similarly, like from the proper definition of vanity, okay, can we make room? The brother is literally in the hallway. Sisters too. Junaid, are we streaming? We are? Okay. Huh? Okay. All right, so here's the thing that we have to understand. By vanity, the definition that I'm speaking about is fantasized positive image of the self. It's almost when we start to love an image of ourself rather than our own selves. We become infatuated with this image. And the reason why I felt like this disease for us, American young Muslims, is so serious is because of social media. We are able to create profiles that show us in one form and actually forget our reality, right? But become so impressed with that image that we're able to put up in front of everyone. Just my good side. That's all y'all need to see. That good angle, that's it, right? Right? We're really careful about showing that image and we become impressed by that image and it can make us forget who we actually are. And another problem with it is that many times this high levels of vanity and narcissism is just us compensating for deep-seated feelings of inadequacy. We really don't feel enough. And so to cover that and mask that up, we mask it with the other extreme. But the way to actually fix that is to realize that your true worth and value is in the sight of Allah, not in the sight of people. Regardless of what people think, your value goes back to the sight that you have, your value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what's the difference between ujub and kibr? What's the difference between ujub, this being impressed with yourself, and Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, he says there's about 8 or 9 areas where you can have ujub, and we'll go through those inshallah ta'ala. But what's the primary difference about ujub and kibr? So last week we talked about kibr, and you can see they kind of overlap. In reality, there's a difference, because what the scholars explain is kibr is that feeling of being impressed, but it's in relationship to another person. So kibr is mainly focused on when I see myself as better than this person, right? The scholars say you could be on an island by yourself and completely vain. You don't need other people around to be vain. But with kibr, you have to have someone else around you to be vain. Now, what are some signs? I'm going to get to Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba Rahimullah in a minute. But what are some signs of narcissism, and why is it so dangerous? Well, the first thing is, when you become so focused on yourself, you lose the ability to invest emotionally in other people. It's all about you. It's all about you. And that's why studies show that if there's one person in the family with narcissistic traits, they can drain the family of all of its resources emotionally, because that person just sucks up all the energy themselves. What are some aspects or traits, signs of vanity or narcissism? Number one, an exaggerated positive image. Now, we need to separate this from just having a positive image. Like, I'll give you an example. There's a Sahabi, his name was Zahir. Zahir was extremely, he wasn't very handsome. He used to come from outside of Medina, and he would come and visit Medina, and he would sell his stuff. The Prophet ﷺ loved him a lot. He loved him so much. So one day, Zahir was sitting inside the marketplace, and he's selling his stuff. And he's at his table. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, brothers that, you know, selling socks. You ever seen that? All right, that's up north. Whatever, forget it. Anyways, outside the masjid, selling stuff. Right, whatever, man. Okay, so he's selling his stuff at his table, and the Prophet ﷺ sneaks up behind him, and he bear hugs him, right? SubhanAllah, like, the closeness. So right away, Zahir starts to like, yo, get off me, man. Who's this bear hugging me? But then when he looks to his side, he realizes that it's the Prophet ﷺ. So the hadith says, instead of fighting, he leans back so that his back could touch the chest of the Prophet ﷺ. He wanted that closeness, right? So the Prophet's not done, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's still joking with him. And I'm talking about self-image here, self-image. The Prophet ﷺ says, "May yashtari hadha minni, may yashtari al-abd minni." Like, he's joking with him, he's holding him, and he's like, "Who wants to buy this guy from me? Who wants to buy this guy from me?" Because they're sitting in the marketplace. So Zahir turns around, he looks at the Prophet ﷺ, and he says, "Idhan tajiduni kasidan ya Rasulullah." Like, if you try to sell me, you'll get nothing for me. I'm worthless. I'm nothing, ya Rasulullah. I'm nothing. I'm worthless. So the Prophet ﷺ, realizing that low self-image, that extremely low, the Prophet ﷺ wants to now lift him up. It's about balance. The vain person has an exaggerated sense of positive image, right? But there's also another extreme, which Zahir was expressing right now, and the Prophet ﷺ is like, no, uh-uh. He says beautiful words. Bal inda Allah anta ghali. Bal inda Allah anta ghali. He says, oh Zahir, in the sight of Allah, you're priceless. You're priceless. Like, the beauty here is, first of all, yo, I'm walking out of that like, yo, I'm priceless. Y'all can't roll with me. In the sight of Allah, I got the stamp from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But number two, notice how the Prophet brings him back to reality through the sight of God, through the sight of Allah. It's not about what people see you as. Because if you keep trying to fit in with the people, you'll never see yourself as adequate. And then you have to project this exaggerated positive image, because you can never see yourself as adequate enough in the sight of people. Well, the reason why you can never see yourself as adequate is because you keep comparing yourself to every other person on Instagram. Right? And because of that, there now I'm not adequate enough. I can never be enough. You know, he's a little more D's than me. You know, he got a better fade than me. You know, whatever. Like, everyone has something that I'm not adequate enough to reach that level of perfection. And the only way the Prophet ﷺ cured that was to say, stop looking at yourself in the sight of people and look at yourself in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first quality of vanity that comes in someone is this exaggerated positive image. Exaggerated. Number two is the obsession with perfectionism. The obsession with everything must be perfect. Everything has to be perfect. Everything has to be perfect. The believer has a different perspective. We aim for perfection, but we understand that perfection is actually only with Allah. Right? The vain person, the one slipping into narcissism, starts to look for perfection everywhere. If it's slightly off, get that out of my face. It's not perfect. Has to be perfect. Like my little Qasim, man. If we break a cookie, he's like, no, it's broken on the edge. Like, yo, dude, come on, man. All right, the next one, which is extremely dangerous, is a sense of entitlement that comes with the vain and narcissistic person. The sense of entitlement. Like, I deserve this. Like, I'm supposed to have all this. This is supposed to be mine. That is the complete opposite of the quality that a believer is supposed to have inside. The complete opposite. Remember, the ajab person is not someone that looks amazing. You can't look at someone and just be like, yo, that, I guarantee she's vain. I know she must be narcissistic, right? Just how she's too attractive, she must be, right? Yo, he's two D's, he must be a vain person. No, it's about whether or not that blessing has been forgotten. They forgot where it came from. And we're going to go in more detail as we talk about the effects, how to cure it. So that's vanity. Now, narcissism obviously is a little step up. Like, narcissism is a little higher than vanity. And one of the key qualities of narcissism, and this is huge, is lack of emotional awareness for other people. It's all about me. You know, you call them like, yo, what's up, bro? And the next 20 minutes is all about them. And the moment you be like, yo, so I wanted to tell you, like, yo, I'm kind of busy. Yo, I'm going to hit you up next week. Like, dang, every time I call you, all you do is talk about yourself. So one of the qualities of narcissism is a lack of awareness emotionally for other people. And it's very dangerous because the whole crux of the deen is about emotional investment in other people other than yourself. One of the other things about getting in a relationship with someone with narcissistic traits is they need someone who's going to feed that narcissism. They have to have someone that's going to feed. If you don't feed their narcissism, they don't want you around because you're not feeding that ego. You're not feeding that quality that they have inside. All right. So regarding this ujub, I wanted to share with you a hadith so you understand how serious vanity narcissism is in light of the Prophet ﷺ. I'm going to start with a Quran verse. The Quran verse is وَيَوْمَ هُنَيْنِ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثَرَتُكُمْ. Right? So the verse says, and the day of Hunain is a place outside of Mecca, and the day of Hunain, the day when your numbers impressed you. Now let me tell you the background to this. And we're going to get to Sheikh Ahmad Duvamba, but I wanted to, like he's just dropping huck on us. But for me and you, we're not like ready for that yet. You know, we got to be like warmed up. And then when he drops, you're like, oh, dang, that was deep. You know what I mean? So, Yoma Hunain. Let's break it down. Real quick seerah lesson. Three minute seerah lesson. The first like 8 years after Hijra, the Prophet ﷺ fought many battles because there was war constantly against him. And they were winning many battles. But they were winning them in spite of not having the external apparent means to victory. They were the underdogs every time. And despite that, they were winning, they were doing well. After the conquest of Mecca, and the reason is because they saw that they themselves, here's the key, they themselves weren't the reason for their success. It was purely God's blessing, purely God's, Allah's blessing. What happened after Fatih Mecca? Real quick, Fatih Mecca was when Mecca was conquered. All of a sudden, the numbers of Muslims shoot through the roof. And now they're going on another battle, and there's like 12,000 of them. Like 12,000. So one of them said amongst themselves, we can never be defeated due to numbers. Now, right there. We can never be defeated due to numbers. That statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't like that statement. Because it has the smell of vanity. It has the smell of being impressed with oneself. And so they're like, we'll never be defeated due to numbers now. The battle happens. an ambush happens, all of a sudden, all the Sahaba are running. They're fleeing. They're out. They're running. And it looks like they're going to lose. Things turn around. They end up winning the battle. But the moral of the story was all of those victories that you were having, all of those blessings that you have, were not from you. They were from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the moment you forgot that, you slipped up, the blessings were taken back. So Allah says in the Quran, إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثَرَتُكُمْ, the day that your numbers impressed you. Now in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says it a bit more explicit. And I'm going to share with you, this is one of my favorite hadith. There's two of them. The Prophet ﷺ in a hadith, he said, ثَلَاثَةٌ مُهْلِكَتْ, there are three things that are extremely destructive for your deen. Three things destructive for your deen. Number one, شُحُّ مُطَاعَ, greed which is obeyed. Greed which is obeyed. Like when you hear that inner voice to say like, nah, don't give her, that's, you're supposed to fight that. That greed inside, you're supposed to fight that. The Prophet ﷺ said, شُحُّ مُطَاعَ is one of the destructive qualities. Greed which you obey. Number two, وَهَوَنْ مُتَّبَعَ, and desires that you just follow. When we get that desire coming, I mean, we learn over and over. This whole class is about when that desire comes, you check it. You're like, yo, hold on. I peep game. I see you creeping on me. Stop. Right? Seriously. That's the whole point of this class, to be able to like check that. Right? By the way, everybody do their homework? You're checking your kibber this week? Anyone? Any reflections, yo? Nah, everybody's like, I ain't have no kibber. You know, the scholars say if you think you have no kibber, you got the most. Yeah, what's up, Shahir? You got the most, for real. Yeah.
You realize that you didn't realize that there were moments where you felt kibber, and when you start to actually look at yourself, you start to realize that they're hidden.
Remember last week, all we were saying was the one moment where you look at somebody and you're like, I'm better than, right there. That's what we were supposed to check the whole week. But hey, that's all good. Nobody wants to keep it real. All right, so the third quality. I'jabu al-mar' bi nafsihi. I'jab, a person being impressed with their own selves. And again, the concept of ujab, it's not just impressed. It's not like I'm happy with myself. It's going to that next level. It's going to that next level. Now there's one more hadith I want to share with you. One more hadith, and then we'll get into Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, rahimahullah ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ شَحًا مُطَاعًا, when you see greed being obeyed, وَهَوَنْ مُتَّبَعًا, and you see desires just being followed, just do it, right? وَإِعْجَابُ كُلِّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ. This is crazy. The Prophet ﷺ said, and when you see every person with an opinion, impressed with their opinion. Like, right? Subhanallah, sadaqa Rasulullah. They could never imagine what we see on social media. They could never fathom the level of this we're seeing. The Prophet said, when you see every person with an opinion, impressed with their opinion. Then the Prophet says, when you see these three things, fa'alayka bi nafsik. It's time to take care of yourself. That's it. Stop worrying about everybody else. Focus on your own heart, because you're in a tough time. It's your own self that you have to take care of. And this hadith is in Abu Dawud and others, inshallah ta'ala. One of the studies I was reading was saying that narcissism has reached levels on a pandemic level in American society. Pandemic level of narcissism within our society. So, inshallah, let's read Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, and he's going to go over some of the cures for us, and then I'll share some of Ghazali's stuff regarding this really, really deadly disease of the heart, this vanity and narcissism. Allah give us tawfiq to save ourselves from it. May Allah give us tawfiq to have good images of ourselves, but never ever let ourselves be deluded by that. That's the key. We ask Allah for blessings, yo. Yo, ask Allah for beauty, for strength, for wealth, for influence, whatever it may be, right? But just don't get deluded by that. So listen to Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, rahimahullah. He says, Amma dawa'u al-ujabi, as for the cure of this vanity and narcissism, فِيمَا نُقِلَ, as has been narrated by scholars, عَنْ يَعْلَمَ الْعَابِدْ أَنَّ الْعَمَلَ لَيْسَ لَهُ لِكَوْنِهِ مُذَلَّلًا. He says the first cure for this, see, what he's talking about here, let's talk about this now. Most of us, in Wallahu alam, I'm generalizing for my own self. Most of us in this room won't have ujub over our good deeds. We can't flex that way because we ain't got that many. You feel what I'm saying? Most of us don't have that many good deeds where we could just be like, yeah, yo, I got tahajjud all year. I've been fasting Mondays and Thursdays. I'm something, yo, I'm something. No, we don't have that level of righteousness, right? He's speaking about ujub regarding your righteous deeds. Now, this does creep into us when we start to get on a habit of doing something more regular, then it starts to creep in. So what does he say? He's specifically talking about that type of ujub. Is everyone with me? Like later, I'm going to touch upon ujub for your beauty, ujub for your strength, ujub for your intelligence, ujub for your money. I'll talk about that later. But he's not talking about that. He's talking to people who are on this path, and people on this path trying to be pious, the first place shaitan gets them is ujub in the good deeds. Like, I'm all that. You know, I whatever I do, whatever good actions I do. So how do you cure ujub in the good deeds? Listen to what he says. أَنْ يَعْلَمَ الْعَابِدِ, that you, the worshiper, has to know. أَنَّ الْعَمَلَ لَيْسَ لَهُ, that action is not because of you. لِكَوْنِهِ مُذَلَّلًا, you're under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first thing, how do you check ujub? The first check of ujub, and this works with almost all of them, is that it's not because of you. Number one. Number two. This works for beauty too. If your ujub is in beauty, like, I mean, everyone here thinks they look good, right? Everybody, like, right? You look at me like, yeah, yeah, yo, you look good today. He just remember it's not from you, yo. It's not from you. You didn't do that. You had no say over that. How can you be so proud over something you had no say over? Abdul Rahman cheesing over there, yo. I tell you, everybody thinks they GQ, yo. Everybody, yo, everybody. وَأَنَّهُ يُمْكِنُ أَلَّا يُقْبَلَ. Second thing to cure ujub. Second thing. You know, the other thing about the beauty, because this is our problem, for real, you got to remember how short it is, too. You know what I'm saying? You got to remember how short it is. You got to remember how, like, temporal it is. It doesn't last long. You know, you get one few pimples, you don't even want to show up to class or work. Like, Allah just caused one pimple on your face. That's it. And now what? All that ujub is gone. You can put as much foundation as you want. We still see it. We still see it. You can put as much as you want. It don't matter. Be real. Like, that's how shallow our perfection is. That's how you're basing it on something that if Allah caused one or two pimples, that's it. You're done, yo. You're done. You get a bad haircut, you go to the barber, he mess you up. You're going to want to fight him, no, but I'm saying, like, yo, we throwing the hands, yo. So first thing, brothers and sisters, is that you didn't cause it. It's not from you. Number two. وَأَنَّهُ يُمْكِنُ أَلَّا يُقْبَلَ. The second thing to cure ujub, being impressed by your righteous actions, يُمْكِنُ أَلَّا يُقْبَلَ. It's possible that it's not going to be accepted. Like, so we in Islam have this concept that even though I did the good deed, I beg Allah for acceptance. Have you ever thought about why we say astaghfirullah right after we pray? It's because you were just doing this high level of worship. You might walk out of that thinking like, I'm the man, yo. I just worshiped Allah. Yeah, right? I'm better than all these. And right away, astaghfirullah. Because in my worship, I know there wasn't perfection in my worship. So what does he say now? Two ways to fight ujub. It didn't come from you, number one. Number two, it may not even be accepted. May not even be accepted. How are you going to be proud on something that wasn't accepted? Can we try to make a little more room? Yo, Issa, man. Victor, man. Come on in, yo. Let that noor, yo. We want some of that light. That convert light, yo. It's that special stuff, yo. All right. Okay, so the next one. What are the, so far? Number one is that it's not from you. Number two is that it might not be accepted. Here's the next thing. وَأَنَّهُ مَا زَالَ ذَا تَقْصِيرِ فِيهِ وَلَمْ يَجِئُ بِكَالنَّقِيرِ في جنب ما عليه من حق جليلي بل لم يجيء بذرة ولا فتيلي. It's beautiful. He says the next cure is to realize that that worship you just offered is full of deficiencies. It's full of deficiencies. Like, you can't be proud over that tahajjud you just prayed, because how focused were you actually in that? You can't be proud over all of that. Why? So what is he saying? He's saying when you do those righteous deeds, you got to balance it out by realizing there were deficiencies in my ibadah. Now let's come back. Hold on. Me and you, let's make this practical though. For me and you, I'm just trying to like do ibadah, yo. Like, you talking about focus in prayer? I ain't even praying. What you talking about? Right? So seriously speaking. So what we have to understand for us is, this is an inner state that comes as you start to worship more. And you need to be on guard of it before it comes. And with the little ibadah that you're doing, if you stay humble to Allah for blessing you with that ibadah, وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ More ibadah is given to you. You know what I'm saying? So regardless of the amount, like, regardless of the amount of ibadah we're doing, any little bit that we have, be careful of ujub in that. But normally ujub comes with the person doing a lot, like Iblis. Iblis, that was the case, like the prototype of like pure ujub. Pure ujub. Okay? So he says, look at the reason why I said this is because if me and you start looking at deficiencies in our ibadah, we'd be like, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, it'll demoralize some of us. And so I don't want you to take this and be like, oh, my ibadah sucks. Allah doesn't. You remember the example I told you guys my teacher gave me? He was like, you ever see, is my kids here? My kids in here? That ain't my kid. For real. My wife holding a little baby. I'm like, that ain't mine. My kids here. So if one of my children, I gave the example, I'm going to repeat it just so you understand. When your little brother or sister draws you a picture, right? It don't look like nothing. It don't look like nothing. You have to, yeah, I know what that is. And then they give it to you, but you love it though. You do. You actually love it. And you feel like they gave you something, even though it's not Picasso, it's not nothing. It's like, you don't even know what it is, right? But you love it because they gave it to you. So one of my teachers was like, that's our ibadah with Allah. That's our ibadah. It's nothing, yo. But you gave it to him and he loves you for it because you gave it to him. You know what I'm saying? So he's talking high level stuff, yo. For me and you, do that scribbles and give it to Allah, right? Scribble something out and give it to Allah. He'll love it, inshallah. Then you work on drawing in the lines later, inshallah. You know what I mean? So again, don't let this demoralize you or stop you, right? I try to make this practical for everyone so we all understand where we are on this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This though, if you like on a higher level, you need to check yourself. You feel me? Okay. Next thing. This is powerful medicine. This is powerful medicine. Then he says, وَلَمْ يَجِئُ بِكَ النَّقِيرِ فِي جَنْبِ مَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ حَقِّ الْجَلِيلِ. In accordance to the right of Allah over you, for all the blessings that Allah has given you, what you did is nothing. So look how little it is in comparison to the blessings He's given you. That's what he said is in the next thing. You're not impressed when you feel like I didn't do enough. You know how sometimes someone did something for you and you want to pay them back, but sometimes the blessing was so much it's hard to pay them back? You don't get impressed when you give them something small back because you look at how much they've given you. So that's what he's saying right here. He's like, another cure for your ujub in your actions, being impressed by your actions, is to keep looking at how much he's given you. I'll share with you a beautiful hadith. Oh, that's the next one. Next one, inshallah. I'll come back to that. Does everyone understand that? That one? Okay. بَلْ لَمْ يَجِئُ بِذَرَّةٍ. He says, you haven't come with a dharra. A dharra is just like a very little amount. You know, like when you see the sun come in and you see like the dust? That's dharra. مِثْقَالَ dharra. He's like, you haven't even come with that compared to Allah's blessings on you. So remember that. And how can you have ujub when you realize you did so little in comparison to what he's done for you? You know what I'm saying? SubhanAllah. Next one. وَأَنَّ مَنْ عَلَى سِوَى اللَّهِ اعْتَمَدْ عنه تخلى وتوى يوم النكد. Do we get to Jannah in paradise based on our actions? The answer is no. The Prophet ﷺ, he once said, none of us, nobody is entering into Jannah based on their actions. The Sahaba, they said, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Even you? I mean, you're fasting every other day, Qiyam al-Layl, Tahajjud. Like all of this, even you? The Prophet ﷺ said, not me. إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ. The only way I get to Jannah is not by my actions, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just showers mercy upon me. That's it. The problem with our actions is we start to depend on them instead of depending on Allah. Now, let's be careful with this one. Let's understand what he's saying. He says, وَأَنَّ مَنْ عَلَى سِوَى اللَّهِ اِعْتَمَدْ عَنْهُ تَخَلَّ. Anyone who depends on anything other than Allah. What is he trying to reference? Once you start worshiping Allah, you start to think you're good. Why? Because my actions are good. I can depend on my actions. I'm good. And he's like, the moment you try to lean on your actions, you've stopped leaning on Allah. And you've just destroyed yourself. Let me say that again. This is very like dense stuff. We work, we do actions, we pray five times, we do Ramadan coming in like 3 months, right? Like we do all these ibadat, right? But we don't look at that and depend on my salvation is on my actions. But rather my salvation, Allah saving me, is pure mercy. I didn't work for this. The Quran says, Jannah urithtumuha. Jannah that you inherit. Inherit is different from working for something. Inherit means you really didn't work for this. It just was dropped on you. That's the way we see Jannah. I didn't work for this. Now, I work to show Allah I want it. See, that's why I said don't get it twisted. I work to show Allah I want it. But I don't have enough money to pay for it. Everyone get what I'm saying on that one? My actions show I want it, but I don't have enough money. It costs too much. I don't have enough ibadah for it. And so that's what he's explaining right here. He's saying, stop depending on your actions and depend only on Allah. And if you start depending, if you're impressed with your actions, you'll start to depend on your actions. There's one hadith about the person who was worshiping Allah on an island for his whole life, never did any ma'siyah. When he died, the angels take him to Allah, like enter him into Jannah by my mercy. And the person says, no, ya Allah, enter me into Jannah based on my actions. And Allah says, oh, you want it by your actions? Yes, by my actions. I've never disobeyed. So then he said, okay, take him to hell based on his actions. He says, ya Allah, why? He said, all your actions didn't equal up to one glass of water that I've blessed you with. So now what about all the other blessings you haven't paid for yet? And he said, okay, by your mercy. By your mercy. Take me to heaven by your mercy. Right? So our actions are just to show that I want it. I'm seeking Allah's mercy. I truly want that more than anything else. But I haven't bought Jannah through these actions. By no means. Tayyib. وَرُبَّمَا عِبَادَةً كَثِيرًا. And sometimes a lot of ibadah, قَدْ أَفْسَدَتْهَا لَحْظَةٌ حَقِيرًا, can be destroyed by one small moment. One small moment. Let's give a practical example. Next week we're going to be talking about showing off in actions, right? You worship, you fasted the whole day. Maghrib time comes around, nobody knew you were fasting. You can't hold it. Gotta let everybody know. 2 seconds, you gotta tell everybody. Y'all know I'm fasting, right? Done. Depending on your intention, you know, but most likely you done. Most likely. Because you're trying to get people to look at you. You're trying to get, and Allah will say, literally, subhanAllah, it's a heavy hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will ask the people, why did you do the action? They will say, we did this for your pleasure. Allah will say, you're lying. You did it so people could say such and such. They said it. Now you got your reward. You got your reward. So we're going to talk about riya next week. But my point is to prove what he's saying here. He's saying, وَرُبَّمَا عِبَادَةٌ كَثِيرًا. It's possible that you have a lot of ibadah. And in one moment you slip up. And that's gone. One backbiting. We talked about backbiting, right? Done. So the point he's making, rahimahullah ta'ala, is that don't get impressed by your righteous actions. Next, and this is the end of his section on this quality. He says, "La yambaghi lil abdi da'wal adhma." It doesn't besuit a slave to claim to be great. He says, "Qurbatihi li rabbihi din ni'ma." Your closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest ni'mah. And that's through your abdiyah, through your being humble and being low, not arrogating yourself and lifting yourself up. So that's Sheikh Ahmad Ubama rahimahullah on this, the cures of ujub for ibadah. I wanted to share with you really briefly, just Imam Ghazali's breakdown of ujub, the types of ujub, because all of this, brothers and sisters, was just about ujub of worship, right? But I want to look at a few more things really briefly. So Imam Ghazali, he says, there are like 7 or 8 areas where you get ujub. Number one, ujub bi badnihi wa fi jimalihi wa hay'atihi wa husna suratihi. He says, ujub because of your body, its beauty, its form, and its symmetry, its form. He says, wa yansa annahu ni'matun min Allah. Here's the problem. You forget that it's a blessing from Allah. Wa huwa bi urdatin zawal fi kulli hal. And it's so close to leaving at every moment. It's so close to leaving at every moment. That's deep. Now, here's the cure. I'laj at-tafakkur fi aqdari batinihi fi awwali amrihi wa fi akhirihi. This is an interesting cure. He says the cure for it is to consider tafakkur fi aqdari batinihi. To consider or reflect upon the ugliness inside of you. Okay, so here you are impressed with the external. What he's asking you is to now do tafakkur on the internal. And he says by reflecting on that, that's one way to fight back against this ujub of the external. And then he says, kayfa, and then he says, tafakkur on how quick it goes away. And we just talked about, you know, one pimple, you done, yo. Number two type of ujub. Al-ujub fil-quwa. Fil-quwa. Like, I mean, that's big now, right? Like, ujub in your physical strength. Like, how ripped you are, right? How strong you are, right? And he says, as the Quran says, man ashadda minna quwa. Who's stronger than us? So what's the cure for this? He says, one fever. He's like, just think of one fever, dude. And dudes, it's like we're dying when we get sick. You know what I mean? Like, my wife, man, she'll get sick. She's a G. Like, what? Like, I'm good. What's up? Me? Tell the halakha make dua for me. I don't know if I'm going to make it through. You know what I mean? We get like, yo, trust me, check yourself next time you get sick. It's like we're dying, man. Sisters have way more strength on that tip. Way more strength. Ajib, yo. Ajib, yo. That's hilarious, man. So he's like, one fever. The cure for your ujub of strength is one fever. Just think about your weakness when you get one fever. All that, done. Finish. It's done. Okay, next one. Ujab fil aqal. Ujab in intelligence. You know, sometimes I'm not the most handsome person in the room, but I'm like, yeah, I'm the smartest one though. Right? Ujab in that. So he says that, and the effect of this is istibda' bil ra'yi wa tark al mashwara. The effect of this is you won't consult people because you think you're the most intelligent person there is. And now, what's the cure for this one? Well, the cure for this one, he says, إِعْلَاجُ أَنْ يَشْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى عَلَى مَا رُزِيقَ مِنَ الْعَقَلِ. First cure is to shukr again, remembering. Again, many of the cures are all the same, guys. Many of the cures are going to be the same, to look back where it came from. And then he says, the other cure, وليعلم أنه ما أوتي من العلم إلا قليلا. To remember, you only got a little bit. To remember, because you just got to be not impressed. The main thing we're trying to get out of us is that being over-impressed. So he says, now you have to, what's the verse of Quran? وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah says, above every knowledgeable person is someone more knowledgeable. Someone more knowledgeable. You could apply that to beauty too. So he says, and to remember how little of knowledge you have in comparison to all the knowledge that is there. That's the cure he gives for that. Oh, this is a big one, yo. Al-ujub fin nasab al-sharif. Ujub in your lineage. Ujub in your family. I don't know if we really... It's not as big, American Muslim. Wallahu a'lam, right? But a lot of times, the elder generation could be like, oh, his family, oh, they're a low family. You can't marry him. They're a low family. You know what I'm saying? They don't have the same status as us. And so a person can become very impressed by their own ujub, of their lineage. And he just said, basically he said about this one, he said, that's pure jahiliyyah. That's pure ignorance. I'm sorry. That's pure ignorance. Because the deen says, in akramukum indallahi atqakum, your whole status is based on your level of connection with Allah, not your family lineage. The other thing that Ghazali says is, why are you having, again, ujub over something you have no control over? Again, same thing. Same thing. And ujub bil mal. Ujub bil mal. So, he says that the, I don't know what number this is. Five. He says that the fifth one is a person can be have ujub, be impressed by the amount of wealth they have. The cure for this is going to go back to the previous thing, guys, which is to remember where that blessing came from and how quick it could go away. To remember how quick zawal, how quick it can go away, and to remember the source where it came from. So, brothers and sisters, these are just a few of the... this is a very important topic, I think, for us, right? I think most important, we need to learn how to balance that positive self-image and an exaggerated self-image, which deludes us from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the key, right? Building that within ourselves, inshallah ta'ala. Allah give us the food. Any questions, inshallah? What class number is this? Oh no, that's wrong, yo. We didn't change it. It's 18. Yeah, I'm with you, yo. We in this for the long run, man. Now, for real though, the book, it says, so we're on page 134, and it ends at 186, and we just did like five lines. So, I think we good till Ramadan, yo. I think we good. Yes. Oh, yes, that hadith is crazy. The second hadith I shared was that when you see three things, shuhun muta'a, greed is obeyed. Number two was hawa mu'taba, desire is just purely followed. And number three, i'jabu kulli dhi ra'yi bi ra'yihi, everyone is impressed with their own opinion. The Prophet ﷺ said, fa'alayka bi khasati nafsik, just start worrying about yourself, take care of your own heart. Just start focusing on your own heart. Don't be all up in the comment section, there's no point. Okay. You asked your question. Khair, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq. No other questions? We solved ujub. We good then, I guess. Yeah. Last week, kibr was heavy. We are like going deep. Ujub is easy. Yeah.
We have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know how like we came from Jannah?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah, this is a deep question, yo.
Like, you know, like the whole idea of like, oh, we don't even deserve Jannah. I mean, I know it's balance, but then like, I don't know, like how do you find balance within the conversation with the knowledge of like we came from Jannah and like, you know.
No,
if your deeds really don't matter, then as long as you mediocrely like do deeds, like you're good.
No, I mean, okay, when you say, the argument from the perspective that since we came from there, that
don't we like it's like our
hand. No, it's like we're proving that we want it back, right? Like that's the whole point. Like I've never been there.
Like, we're like, I know.
No, the basis of the deen is that concept of taklif, right? Taklif just means accountability before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَمَا خَلَقْتَ... What is the second verse of... No, not that one. Second verse of Mulk, right? Like, الْحَيَاتُ وَالْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاتَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. Like, don't forget the core purpose of creation of dunya is ibtila. Like, don't forget that. The core is ibtila. Now, yeah, if you do the base and stay away from haram, you pass the test. You'll get a C, you know what I mean? You pass the test, inshallah. Yeah. 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 That's why I said some people are going to have a C, some are going to have an A+. It's about your what level you want to reach, right? How high you want to go. There was one more sister here. She had a question.
Is it wajib to feel like you, like in a friendship, for example, that you deserve more from this person because you're always putting in more?
No, I don't think that's wajib at all. Many people, in fact, you may be dealing with a person that's extremely narcissistic. Based on what we discussed, they may be sucking a lot of energy out of you because of the level of narcissism within themselves. And so you wanting them to invest back